Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to my country. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Israel time. We're going to have a really exciting and special show today. I reached out on my Twitter feed and asked if anyone would like to share original music, because this station, Israel News Talk Radio, is very particular about using only music and photos that have rights from the owners. In any case, I sent out a shout out to my Twitter feed and asked if anyone would like to share. And right away, I got a response, secondhand response. Somebody wrote me an email and he said, a friend of mine saw on Twitter your shout out, and I have an original song that I wrote about standing with Israel. And he sent me the song and gave me permission, and I'm really glad you're going to hear this after the break. So don't go away, hear this amazing song. I'm going to share the words to the song on the description of the show, so you can check that out too. And we're going to be speaking with Yisrael Meidad from Shiloh. Yisrael is a veteran spokesperson for the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria for many, many years. I would say that he is a mentor to me. I look up to Yisrael and follow his direction and try to learn from his ways. And he's going to be speaking with us about the activities of the American Consulate in Jerusalem, who are discriminating against Jewish people who live in the region that this consulate is meant to be servicing. And he's going to tell us about that, and I'll be sharing some information about that in the description, and information where you can see a letter that Yisrael wrote and you should be sharing with your representatives if you are an American citizen and asking for answers. Don't go away. After the second break, we're going to be speaking with Avi Zimmerman from the city of Ariel, who has launched a very special initiative called Talk 17, which is a platform for speakers from the land, from the heartland of Israel, to share different ideas, kind of like the TEDx conferences. Talk 17 is an original concept coming out of the city of Ariel in the Shomron. So don't go away. Stay with us, and let your friends know about the show. Share it on your social media and send me any comments on any of those platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Israel News Talk Radio, David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland.
Want real answers to the big questions of life? Who am I? Why am I here? How can I find lasting happiness? If God is good, why is the world so bad? Don't miss Soul Talk with Rabbi David Aaron. Revealing, inspiring, empowering.
Welcome back to the Heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Israel time, which is 12 noon Eastern in the United States. And just figure out your clock. I guess it's best to figure out your clock in comparison to Israel. I broadcast the show live every Wednesday on Israel News Talk Radio, and then it's on the archive all week. It's on the archive. It stays on the archive. You can go in and hear older shows. They'll be up there on the archive too. There's a whole list of the shows on my page on Israel News Talk Radio. And of course, you are welcome to check out the other radio hosts, the other shows that are broadcast on this station, on Israel News Talk Radio. A lot of interesting things happening. We are now after Purim and before Pesach. There's a whole month between Purim and Pesach. There's exactly 1 month. Purim is always a challenge. This is my one day a year where I experiment with alcohol. And I'm glad that I don't do this all year round. And I guess for me, it's it's good to have a year in between to forget. It wasn't that bad this time. We had a good time, and we had a great party at home. And I shared some pictures from the party on my social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I kind of was testing myself. I wrote, if I'm still tweeting, then, you know, it's dangerous. If you start drinking alcohol and tweeting, you don't know what's going to come out of that. Anyway, we had a great Purim. The kids dressed up, and we had the Kriyat HaMegillah. We read the Book of Esther in the synagogue and at home. We read at the synagogue the evening of Purim, which was on Saturday night in the synagogue. And then there was a second reading at the synagogue for moms who were at home with the small children. And we also had a second reading of the Megillah at home, in our home. My son-in-law, El Yashuv, read the Megillah. The Megillah is actually written on a scroll, like the Torah. It's written on a parchment, and that's the official kosher Megillah, written by a scribe in ink, in very special Hebrew letters on the parchment. And El Yashuv read the Megillah for my daughter Hagar, who was his wife, and anyone else who wanted to hear the Megillah, who missed hearing it in the synagogue. And then we read it again in the morning, in the morning prayers. So in all, I think that I heard the reading about four times. And during the party that we had at home, we read some commentary by Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Itzchaki. We read about the story of Esther, Mordechai and Esther. And we have four main mitzvot on Purim. We have the reading of the Megillah. We have the giving of Matanot le'Evyonim, which is an interesting question, trying to figure out who is the Evyon. Evyon is a certain type of individual, and it's not clear if it's just a regular poor person who we have a mitzvah to give charity to poor people all year round, or if the Evyon, who we need to give this donation to on Purim, has some kind of special classification, and we try to figure that out. And then we have the Matanot le'Evyonim. We give out plates of food and candy and pastry and all kinds to people to share the joy of Purim. And then we have the Su'udat Purim. We have a huge meal for Purim. Those are the four mitzvot. And dressing up and the party and all of that are extra. Listen, I want to tell you that I sent a shout out to my social media and asked if anyone has original music that they would like me to share on the show, that they could let me know and send me that. And I got a response right away from a fellow named Patrick Henry. He's not following me on Twitter, but he told me that an acquaintance of his pointed out that I had shouted out and asked for original music to play on the show. And he sent me a link to a beautiful song that he wrote and published on YouTube. It's called Standing with Israel. And the lyrics are very beautiful. The song is very beautiful. And I have his permission, Patrick Henry. He asked me to share this on the show. So I am going to share this with you. And in the description of the show, I will share the link to Patrick Henry's YouTube video. And you can go in there and express your thoughts on the words and music of this song, Standing with Israel. And this is a shout out for other people. Feel free to send me any music, any of your own original music that you own. If you would like me to promote it on the show, I would be glad to do that. So tune in to this beautiful song and tell me what you think.
Surrounded by hatred, betrayed and outnumbered, that we stand with Israel in its lonely battle for liberty and its right to defend its people and its land. We stand with Israel.
Wow. Patrick, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That was really amazing. And I think that I like to call this a phenomenon. The existence of the Jewish people, our survival. We are a nation that was exiled nearly 2,000 years ago from our land, and we succeeded in maintaining our national identity throughout history and maintaining our connection to our land and our promise to from our fathers to our sons to fulfill the prophecy and the promise of God to return to our land and again be a sovereign nation. That is a miracle. That's a phenomenon. And there are so many phenomenons that are built around this gathering of the nation of Israel and returning to our land. And one of the things that I'm really fascinated with is the support of people around the world, like yourself, who feel this connection with the people of Israel and wish to express the standing with Israel. So the words of your song are really inspiring. I'm glad that you shared it with me and that I was able to share this on the show. As I mentioned earlier, listeners, if you have original music, particularly music about Israel and your connection with Israel, feel free to let me know, and I would be glad to share it on the show and to give you a promotion. And of course, I will link back to your website or to your YouTube video or wherever you have that. Everyone, stay tuned. After the break, we're going to be speaking with Yisrael Medad about the activities of the American Council in Jerusalem. You might be surprised.
Hey, it's Ari Fuld at Israel News Talk Radio. If you, like me, are sick and tired, if you've had enough of listening to all the anti-Israel lies and propaganda that's being spread online and offline, in the press, in the newspapers, on TV channels, in the newsrooms across the world, tune in to my weekly show, Bulletproof, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as we discover, expose, and completely destroy all anti-Israel lies and propaganda. And we're going to do it with just the truth. As an active IDF reserve soldier, an elite paratroopers unit, I will try to give you an inside look to the opinions of the men and women of the IDF on the situation. Bulletproof will give you the tools. More importantly, will give you the weapons to take down all anti-Israel activists, no matter where you meet them. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. Israel time to Bulletproof on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Today we have a very special guest. We're going to be speaking with Yisrael Medad, who is a spokesperson for the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria for many, many years. And Yisrael has been following some, with concern, some issues regarding the American a consulate in Jerusalem and their activities. And I've been reading some of Yisrael's writings and letters and articles on this issue. So I'd like to hear from Yisrael himself, if you can tell us. Yisrael, welcome on the show.
David, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, great. I'm glad that you're with us. And I would appreciate it if you could give us some background about this issue with the American consulate in Jerusalem.
Well, let's just go over some of the basics. The United States State Department has successfully impressed upon all the administrations since 1948 that the basis for the attitude towards Jerusalem until a peace treaty is signed, and I'm not quite sure what that means, because we already have a peace treaty with Jordan, is that Jerusalem is to be internationalized as per the November 29th, 1947 plan. Therefore, the United States does not recognize Israeli sovereignty not only in what is called East Jerusalem, which I prefer Jerusalem's post-67 neighborhoods, but also in West Jerusalem, the city that was the capital of Israel until 1967, and according to Israeli law, became united once again. And therefore, the consulate is not a representative to the Israeli government per se, but to something very nebulous called Jerusalem and the West Bank.
That's really, it seems to me that that's a unique situation in the entire world. Normally, the consulate, a country has an embassy, and then if they have consulates, they're kind of like a branch of the embassy in remote locations. But here it seems that the American consulate in Jerusalem is some kind of independent agency that's not even interacting with Israel.
Not only is it not interacting officially with Israel, it doesn't interact with the embassy. It reports directly back to the State Department. And in some years, you mentioned that I'm a veteran spokesperson, so I can tell you I've been following this since 1983, when I first set up a committee of American Jewish citizens resident in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. But that's a long story. We don't have time for that. And during different periods of time, the consulate has been known to actually refuse even to talk with anybody in the embassy. Sometimes the relations are good, sometimes the relations are better, but in a strict sense, The Jerusalem consulate reports directly back to Washington and does not have to go through the embassy at all.
That's really an awkward situation. Can we fast forward just for a moment regarding the issue of the recent letters that you published on the grant system of the embassy? What are these grants about, and what is the problem with them?
The grants are only one aspect of it, but the United States consulate in Jerusalem provides two services to American citizens and Israelis and Arab residents of Judea and Samaria and Gaza of the Palestinian Authority, which is consular services, a passport, a visa, a birth certificate, social security, etc., a death certificate, God forbid. And it is engaged in providing cultural, economic, artistic, sports, and grant services. As a matter of course, they do that all over the world. They do it in Israel also through the embassy. The uniqueness, and here I'll answer directly your question, is that if you are a Jewish resident of the area under the control, or I should say the supervision of the consulate, which is about, I would guess, over 1 million people, because you have to take into consideration all Jerusalem, plus the Jews resident in Judea and Samaria, will not get the right to apply for a grant, will not get to a visit by the consulate general to an olive festival. If Shiloh or Tapuach has an agricultural festival like the Arabs do, and you can follow them, the consulate general will not come out to visit. There's a political officer that deals with these issues, but only to report back on what the situation is on the ground. Music concerts, musicians are brought over from the United States. Feminist authors and activists are brought to encourage women's empowerment. And I think the most stark evidence I can give this to you, and which all your listeners can check out immediately, go on the Facebook page of the American consulate, and you'll see it's published in two languages, English and Arabic. Over 1 million people read and speak Hebrew. It's not on the Facebook page. To make the last point for you, the United States American consulate views itself as an American outreach to encouraging the establishment of the state of Palestine. Not of peace, not of coexistence, not of Jews and Arabs, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, excuse me, getting together, eventually perhaps even making peace. No, they are there for Palestine, not for anything else.
We are speaking with Yisrael Meidad, who is a veteran spokesman in Judea and Samaria, in the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. And for many, many years, he's been following the activity of the American consulate in Jerusalem. And Yisrael, from what you're saying, the American consulate in Jerusalem is discriminating against 1 million residents of the region that they are overseeing because these 1 million people are Jewish. Isn't that against the law in the United States?
Well, I want to be fair, and since we know each other, I think you'll agree that I try to be fair. They're against us because they don't recognize the communities, a.k.a., also known as, the settlements. We could be Martians, and they'd deal with us the same way. It just so happens that we happen to be Jewish, and about 30,000 at least are American citizens. So I would argue, as I have done for many years, that it is discriminatory to discriminate between two types of populations on the ground. We could be anybody. Of course, it hurts because we know discrimination in the past on the eve of the Holocaust and during the Holocaust, when the State Department was not very favorably inclined to grant Jews the right to come to the United States. This is another aspect of that type of discriminatory outlook, whether or not it's based on personal ideology or simple diplomacy, which is all wrong. But it's an issue that has to be addressed, because I'll give you one last example. If an American citizen woman, Arab or Jewish, Palestinian in quotation marks, or Israeli, gives birth in a home in Tapuach, in Shiloh, in Ramallah, in Jenin, the first choice for registering that child is Shiloh, Ramallah, West Bank. Now, David, I'm sure you know, as many of our listeners do, West Bank is a name. It's not a state, at least not yet. And if it does become a state, it will be Palestine, not the West Bank. But if your child or my child, as was done, was born in Jerusalem, the birth registration is only Jerusalem without Israel. In other words, the State Department recognizes a so-called state or some sort of political entity which is called the West Bank, but won't recognize Israel, which actually has complete control over Jerusalem and has declared it its capital. It just doesn't make sense. And when things don't make sense to me, it means something is very wrong.
I agree with you, Yisrael. I think this is very wrong. To my listeners, I'm going to share in the description, on the description section of the podcast, I will share a link to a very long letter that Yisrael wrote detailing all of this this issue. And I urge you to bring this letter to the attention of your representatives in Washington, D.C., and let's connect them with Yisrael Meidad and see what they can do in order to amend this discriminatory policy by the American consulate in Jerusalem. Yisrael, we're coming towards the end of the show, so I want to thank you for being with us.
And I want to thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Yisrael. You are a welcome guest, and I intend on turning to you again in the future to follow up on this and to speak with you about other issues regarding the heartland of Israel.
I'm here for you, David. Thank you very much again. Goodbye.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Please consider supporting our advertisers who help keep us on the air so you can listen for free. Thank you.
I used to get up all the time at night to go to the bathroom and have to take numerous breaks at work as well. But not anymore. I found what some people claim is a miracle cure from Israel. It's made from the cactus flower called Opuntuma. It's an all-natural and herbal remedy that helps with urinary problems, and it's really helped me. No more embarrassing trips to the bathroom. Get it at priso.com. That's P-R-I-S-S-O.com.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. This is David Ha-Ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you for staying on after that break. Today we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Avi Zimmerman, from the city of Ariel, who oversees the American Friends of the city of Ariel. And Avi has been working on a very exciting initiative over the past months in bringing in speakers from all over the land to speak about the issues that are most relevant to us here in the heartland of Israel. And he calls this initiative Talk 17. Avi, welcome on the show.
Thanks, David. How you doing?
I am doing good, Baruch Hashem.
It was great seeing you at the conference. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for setting up this platform and for bringing in all of these amazing speakers. I enjoyed the conference yesterday and the previous conference, and I really like to express my appreciation and to ask you to share with our listeners where this idea came from and what it's all about.
Well, there's so much that went into it. I'll start with the name Talk 17. We're in 2017. We're 50 years after 1967, the Six-Day War, and everything that has followed. And different people around the world have different names for what's followed 1967. Some people call this the rejuvenation of Judea-Samaria. Some people call it the occupation of the West Bank. Whatever they call it, though, we, I think, have the responsibility, opportunity, if you will, but the responsibility to take stock of where we've been these last few 50 years and to look forward to the next 50 years and beyond. And in order to do so, we would be wasting our time to just regurgitate the same narratives that have been told about the region on people's television screens for the last 50 years. It's important to start to introduce to the rest of the world what actually goes on here, and to introduce that by hearing different people with different perspectives from the region share their voices. And so we call it Talk 17, to talk about those voices, present those voices. And our concept is that we will change the Israel conversation one voice at a time.
But by the way, I'd like to tell our listeners that series of conferences is being held in the English language at the Center for the Performing Arts in Ariel, and the speakers are local Jews, Israelis, Arabs, some call them Palestinians, and each one of them is coming and sharing their own perspective on the issues and events here. I think that people on the outside just think that everyone here everyone shares the same opinion regarding the events here. And what the Talk 17 is doing is opening up, is providing this platform and bringing in people. One of the speakers yesterday was Sarah Etzni. I think that she used the term thinking out of the box. Avi, please tell us more about the different speakers who appeared.
Well, there are a lot of speakers. I actually want to start with what you said before, David. Really fascinating, because even at least I would say one of the speakers who was on the stage and comes from a different perspective than, let's say, the residents of Ariel himself, I think, fell into the trap of assuming that the people in the audience and the people in Ariel all think the same thing, even though we invited him in and gave him the stage. Right? There's this. I mean, you couldn't be more right. People assume that they know what the other person thinks. They also assume for us a paradigm of conflict. They assume that the way that you, David, and I live our lives is we wake up in the morning and we wonder whether we're going to get pelted by rocks or whether we should throw rocks at someone else, when we're aware that although you live in Tapuach and I live in Ariel and our communities are very different in many respects, none of us live with that mindset. And so that's the idea, is really to bring it out there. Today's particular challenge is, when I say changing the Israel conversation, is to help people understand how many layers there are to this thing. Our first two conferences dealt with different issues. The first one was kind of a mix of issues, but a lot of focus on what coexistence looks like. Yesterday's conference had a focus on the alternatives, what people call the alternatives. I prefer not to use that term, but other plans other than the tried and failed two-state solution theory. And so we had Sarah Etzni Kona did an outstanding project over this past summer introducing into the Israeli conversation the fact that it's time that we start looking at things afresh. We had some of the people who have developed these projects and really given them a very, very clear voice in their own right, whether it was Caroline Glick or Dr. Mordechai Kedar. We had a speaker with a very different perspective. His name is Meron M. Rappaport, who speaks about two peoples sharing one state, which is kind of not exactly that, but it doesn't matter. People will watch when they see that video come online on the talk17.org site. And we had, you know, the Jericho First plan, which was an Adi Arbel project, which is a very creative kind of spin on Israel applying sovereignty to the region. The point is, as Yishai Fleischer of the Hebron, the Jewish community in Hebron, was saying, let's not think that if we say two states is a non-starter, which we don't have to say, history has borne that out, but if we say that, we're not just knocking a bad idea. There are so many different ways of looking at this and moving forward. We just need to start getting those ideas out there.
Everyone, we're speaking with Avi Zimmerman from the city of Ariel, who is running a brand new initiative that is called Talk 17. And you can write Talk 17 in the search bar on Facebook and see their page and check out some of the talks that have been at these events are already on the internet, and you can see them anywhere, wherever you are. Avi, how do people find out about the next events?
Well, again, stay tuned on the Facebook page, that's for sure. They can also sign up for talk17.org, which is our website, and there's a newsletter there. There's a weekly newsletter that comes out with the weekly featured speaker. The idea is 50 years since 67, which means 50 conversations, one every week, or 50 really monologues. We're using the TED-style approach to these presentations. So every week, another presentation comes out there, and with that, any updates about what's happening and when the next events are. We have all kinds of events we're planning this year. One will be about the arts and the region, another one about women's voices from the region, another about economy, entrepreneurship, and environment, one just about the role of religion, and another about journalism, perhaps even more. So there's a lot to be aware of, a lot of events worth attending. And this is really a growing, call it an archive, of video material that can be used time and again in so many different settings.
Avi, we're coming to the end of this segment and towards the end of the show. Could you share with our listeners just a short insight of Divrei Torah, some inspiration from
the
Torah?
I hope so. It's a tall order. A short insight is a hard thing. But actually, during my little Talk 17 presentation yesterday, I spoke about the opportunity but challenge of the Esther and Mordechai story we just celebrated this week, the Jewish people all over the world, the story of Esther and Mordechai, the Purim story. And it seems that there's a challenge there, because their idyllic paradigm was one of survival. Let's survive the decree of annihilation. But our question today, living in Israel, not in the diaspora, not in Persia, but here in Israel of today, is not only how do we survive, but how do we move forward and even dream towards our role in this region? What are we doing here? What do we have to offer? Again, I think this is the challenge of the day. It's directly related to everything that's happening in Israel today. It's about feeling the pulse of Israel today and knowing how to turn that into something that moves us into an even better direction.
Avi, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for the work that you're doing in Ariel and for this inspiring, I don't know if we can call it a movement yet, but it's definitely a exciting and new platform, the Talk 17. I encourage our listeners to look this up on Facebook or check out your website, thetalk17.org. And see some of the talks. And definitely, often on my show, I speak about the Shamron Day experience, the tours that I lead in the Shamron, sharing the reality, exposing some of the reality here to visitors who come from around the world. And often we visit with you, with Avi Zimmerman in Ariel. So this is a self-promotion for this tour, for this experience in Israel. People, you should connect and come out. And I will take you by the hand to meet with Ari, with Avi, and see the Center of the Performing Arts. Avi, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, David.
Again, I want to thank Avi for coming on the show and for sharing the work that he's doing in Ariel. And this really was an exciting event. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to take part in this. And I do encourage you to look up the videos on the site and get a glimpse of some of these talks that are taking place. And as always, I encourage you to send in your comments. You can reach out to me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on the site, on Israel News Talk Radio, and send me your feedback about the show and any ideas, any issues you'd like me to be addressing here on A Hebrew in the Heartland. Share the show with your friends on social media, and tune in next week. Shalom from the Heartland.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.